in his mind and in his spirit, he says, and then there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That was given to me a thorn in my flesh to buffet me. I don't care what you're going through in life. If I never talk to you anymore, I came to tell you today that there are blessings in the buffeting. There are blessings in the buffeting. Let me show you blessings in the buffeting. Let me show you the benefits that can come. Notice, you will notice in this text, Paul shows us the pain of buffeting. And as we look at the pain of, anybody here had any pain in your life? As we look at the pain of buffeting, Paul sorts out for us in this text, he talks about the personality of the pain. Paul tells us about the nature of the trial he endured by using two words in this text to describe what he had been through. He uses the word thorn and he uses the word buffet. If you've ever been pricked, I didn't grow up in the country, but in the summertime. So don't judge me by my chickens that are in my bathroom. But if you ever were raised in the country, then you can't fool me and make me believe that you have not been pricked by a thorn. And you can't make me believe that you don't understand the piercings of the thorn and the nagging of the pain that a thorn can produce. Notice Paul says, that was given to me a thorn in my flesh. The word thorn comes from the word which refers to a sharp wooden stake to torture somebody. I mean, Grandma had those blackberry patches and would tell us, don't go out there in my blackberry patch. And we would go out there in the blackberry patch and very carefully and meticulously reach up to get a blackberry, not knowing that they were surrounded by thorns. Go running in the house with our hands just bloody because there was a thorn there to buffet us. Paul talks about the personality of the pain. He says it's there to remind you that you're somewhere you shouldn't be. And then he says the word thorn, it's a sharp wooden stake. But then he says the word buffet means to strike with the fist. It means to mistreat. And whatever it was that Paul endured, it was to him like being beaten with an open fist or being slapped with an open hand. And so as I looked at what Paul was going through, the first thing I asked myself was, what was the nature of Paul's thorn to make him feel like he was being so mistreated and abused? And you know what I discovered in the text? I discovered that no one knows. But you know, when people don't know, they make up the story. And so theologians say, some say that Paul suffered from an eye disease. Well, where did you get that from? You got that from Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, because Paul had some issues with his eyes, but it doesn't tell us he had an eye disease. But all we got to do is just get a little snippet of it and we'll create our story. Some theologians have suggested that Paul's thorn was malaria, that it was epilepsy, or that it was some other physical affliction. Now, I searched the Bible from last Sunday to this Sunday trying to find out how did y'all give Paul malaria or a physical affliction, and I don't know. But theologians have alleged this, and theologians have alleged that. No one knows for sure what this thorn was. No one knows for sure what was buffeting Paul. We all know that it was painful. We all know that Paul wanted out because he says, I prayed three times. I asked the Lord to remove this thorn from me three times and it's still there. We all know more than the pain that he had. We all know more than the suffering that we had. we all know that God was with him. Come here, let me tell you something while you're here today. I don't care what you're going through, as long as God is with you, you can make it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not even about to get into what we could be going through or what you are going through. I just want to come here, tell you this morning that whatever you're going through, as long as God is with you, you're all right. Now, will you help me? Will you touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I think you're all right. Because when God is with you, you're all right. One thing we know for sure about Paul's thorn is it may, come here, because we always think it's the devil. Everybody likes to say what the devil is doing. Nobody likes to say what God is doing. But listen at this thorn. It may have been carried out by Satan, but it was conceived by God. I mean, sometimes God has to break you in order to make you. Sometimes God has to close a window in your face because he has a better door open up the road. Sometimes God has to give you a few enemies because you got some friends that need their space. Can I get a witness here? And so whatever the affliction that the Apostle Paul was, I'm happy this morning because I discovered that God was in the plan. And I don't care what you're going through, you ought to just be happy this morning, because Paul teaches us when he says, my grace is sufficient, he teaches us that God is with us. You may be going through a time like this, a time like this, or a time like that, but be rest assured that God knows. And you're going to always go through something, because Job told us in 14:1 that a man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So my brothers and sisters, notice the pain of the buffering, the personality of the pain, but notice also the place of the pain. It afflicted this physical man. Paul's thorn was in his flesh. Sometimes thorns and bufferings are manifested in your body. Sometimes it comes through sickness. Sometimes it comes through physical suffering. Sometimes thorns and buffetings are manifested through emotionally. It comes through depression. It comes through loneliness. Seems like everybody I talk to is either depressed, lonely, or heartbroken. And what they may not know is there may be a thorn in your flesh that only God can fix in your life. Your psychologist can't handle it. Your psychiatrist can't handle it. Your pediatrician can't handle it. Your gynecologist, your oncologist, and none of them can handle the problems that are set there and designed for God. And so there's the personality of this pain, there's the place of this pain, and then, Rikita, there's the persistence of this pain. The word buffet is a, come here, the word buffet is a verb, and it's in the present tense, and it's in the active voice. So why are you telling us that, preacher? Because that means, may not mean much to you, but that tells us that thing which afflicted Brother Paul, come here, listen, was something that was continual in nature. In other words, he lived this thing out a long time. When the problem came, it wouldn't go away. It came, it stayed, it came, it stayed. I'm talking to some people this morning. You've had problems in your life. You prayed because you were taught to pray. You prayed because you believe, like I believe, that prayer changes things. You prayed because mama told you to pray. You were brought up in prayer, but you've been praying, and that thing that bothers you, that person that bothers you, that job that bothers you, that neighbor that bothers you, that preacher that bothers you, that thing that bothers you, it won't go away. Paul says in verse 8, he says, for this thing, look at verse 8, I begged the Lord 3 times. That this thing might depart from me. Understand that what you're called upon to endure it may not be over in the morning. What you're called upon to endure, it may last more than a week. It may last more than a month. It might last a few years. And for God's own reasons that we don't know, some thorns and buffetings last, you say, how long? Until God says, long enough. Until God says, I get the glory out of you. Now, that's how long it lasts. And so that's the pain of the buffeting, the personality, the plays, and the persistence of the pain. But will you notice with me in this text also not only the pain of the buffeting, but notice the purpose of the buffeting? Buffeting, come here, regulates our flesh. For Paul, the buffeting came his way to keep him from being exalted above himself. I mean, the phrase means to lift oneself up. It means above one's place. Look at verse 1 through 6. In verses 1 through 6, Paul, listen, was blessed by God. In verse 7, Paul was anointed by God. Now, will y'all ease in on me and listen to me when I tell you that that's a powerful place to be, but it's a dangerous place to be. I mean, to be blessed and anointed. It's a good place to be, but it's a place to be where you got to be careful. You got to watch your walk. You got to watch your talk. You got to watch the company you keep. You got to watch whose house you visit. You got to watch who visits your house. You got to watch who you spend in, let in your circle, because when you've been blessed and anointed, I didn't say when you have a car and a dog, or when you have a car and a truck, or a cat and a dog, or a house and a boat. I say when you've been blessed and anointed. You can have a boat and still not be blessed. You can have a house and still not be blessed. As a matter of fact, your house can be your worst curse. Your boat can be your worst curse. Your vacation home can be your worst curse. But when you've been blessed and anointed, you got to be careful, because there will come a thorn. Because God does not bless you for nothing. And God does not anoint you for yourself. God does not anoint you for his people. God anoints you for his glory. The purpose of buffeting, let's talk about that and go. Buffeting regulates our flesh. Because when God's been good to us, it's not hard to say, to sing, I'll just eat, drink, and be merry. When God's been good to us, it's not hard to stand in the mirror and sing, how great thou art. And so buffeting comes to regulate our flesh. But maybe I'm talking to some real righteous folk today who don't have problems with your flesh. You say, every day I get up, I crucify the flesh. And so the flesh is not my problem. I better preach today. This might be my last time. I better preach today. Buffeting regulates our flesh. But wait a minute. That's not all buffeting does. It doesn't just regulate our flesh. It rejuvenates our faith. Yeah, everything that happened to you don't happen because you've been bad. Oh, come on. Hit me right there, Lewis. Hit me right. I say everything that happened to you does not happen to you because you've been bad. Job's house burned down and everybody, his friends standing there like, whoa, what did Job do? Folk always want to know what happened when bad stuff happened. It ain't always because you've been bad. Sometimes God is rejuvenating your faith. Come here. When you tell God to increase my faith, he may let your baby sister die. When you tell God to increase my faith, he might let your uncle drown. When you tell God to increase your faith, he might let your 25-year-old nephew put a gun to his head. When you tell God to increase my faith, He might get you put, let you get put out the church, but it ain't because you've been bad. God buffers us. God buffers us to strengthen our, God buffers us to regulate our flesh. I don't care who you are. Every once in a while, your flesh get out of control. I say, I don't care who you are now. Pretty woman walk down there and somebody gonna think something that you ought not think. But God will let something happen to regulate your flesh. And then he'll let it happen to rejuvenate our faith. And so, come on, there's the pain of the buffeting. But not only the pain of the buffeting, will you look, you've looked with me at the purpose of the buffeting. One, to regulate our flesh. One, to rejuvenate our faith. But also in this text, notice the promise in the buffeting. Look at verse 7. He says, there was given to me. Paul speaking of this buffeting, look, he said, it was given to me. Anything given to you is a gift. Hit me right there, Lewis. Somebody hit me. I said, anything given to you is a gift. Paul says, this thing in my flesh, this thorn in my flesh, this pain that I'm having, this heartache that I'm having, Paul says it was a gift. And when you get a gift, say thank you. It's just right to say thank you for the gift. Don't be ill-mannered and not say thank you for the gifts. Because every gift, notice in this gift, the promise in the buffeting, the promise of divine sufficiency. Paul prayed for the thorn to be removed. The Lord answer was, my grace is sufficient. I didn't give you this one to move it. Now, you've been praying a long time and you asked me to do something and I do it. You asked me to take something away and I take it. I didn't give you this one to move it. I gave you this one for you to remember that my grace is sufficient. Mama was talking to me the other night. She said, son, in the middle of our conversation, she said, son, I'm sorry that I didn't do like other mothers. I didn't finish school like other mothers. She said, almost with tears in her voice, I just made it on grace. She said, I didn't go to college and I didn't have the money to do what other mothers did. I just made it on grace. She said, I didn't have steaks for y'all when you got home from school. I didn't have caviar and salmon and the finer things for the table. Everybody had a different color plate. I didn't have the money. I just made it on grace. Mama got through talking and had that voice, that teary voice in a voice. She didn't know what I had been reading all week. I said, well, Mama, ain't no sense in sounding sad or apologizing for making it on grace. If his grace was sufficient for Paul, then his grace is sufficient for you. Sufficient means to be possessed. It means to have all of the strength that you need. Sufficient means to be enough. I don't believe I'm going there today. I just want to tell you, his grace is sufficient. God says to Paul, I know that you have a big task ahead of you. God says to Paul, I called you to this task. God says to Paul, remember this, I feel you when you're weak, but I'm here to make you strong. What you need to know is You will never be enough in all of your situations. I don't care how much you pray. God says to Paul, you will never be enough. I don't care if you fast 3 times a week. God says to Paul, you will never be enough. And as I prayed to the Lord for months now about this church, God says, Ricky, you'll never be enough. But hear me when I tell you, in that same voice, God says, I didn't call you to be enough. I called you because you are my child. And hear me when I tell you, on the job that you're on, you will never be enough. But God knows, as he tell Paul, you don't have to be enough, because my grace is sufficient. And what God was really saying to Paul is, I'm enough because I am. He says, grace is that undeserved love. Thank you, Jesus, for your undeserved love. Grace is the favor of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the favor of God. Grace will support you. Grace will sustain you. Grace will protect you. Grace will comfort you. How do you know so much about grace? You asked Moses at the Red Sea. Moses will tell you that God's grace is sufficient. You ask Elijah up on Mount Carmel, he'll tell you that God's grace is sufficient. You ask the Hebrew boys down in the fiery furnace, they will tell you that God's grace is sufficient. You ask Daniel in the lion's den. You ask Paul and Silas in the Roman jail. They will tell you that God's grace is sufficient. Ask Jonah down in the belly of the whale. He'll tell you that God's grace is sufficient. Ask David in the valley of the shadows of death. And I feel all right now. David will tell you that God's grace is sufficient. You ask the widow with a little morsel of bread and a little cruse of oil. Lord, she'll tell you that God's grace is sufficient. Ask Hezekiah, who turned his face to the wall, and God gave him 15 more years. Won't he tell you that his grace is sufficient? Ask Ezekiel down in the valley of dry bones. He will tell you that God's grace is sufficient. The Lord said, well, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. And that's why I leave you this morning. The Lord knows. Have I got a witness here? I heard you say, ask all of the people in the Bible about God's grace being sufficient. But you just asked, Ophelia King, in the hospital. Doctors gave her up. People gave her up. But she's here today to tell somebody his grace is sufficient. I don't know everybody that's been through the storm. I don't know everybody that's been through the storm, been through the flood, and been through the fire. But I want to ask you this morning, am I talking to somebody? Been through the storm, and you can testify his grace is sufficient. Can I get a witness here? You just asked Juanita Sutherland. I went to the hospital, couldn't even breathe. Can I get a witness here? But she's in the church right now. You know how calm, because God's grace is sufficient. I done got happy now. I got one more person to ask this morning about God's grace. You ask me about it. I know him, I tell you. Is anybody here know him? Is anybody here tried him? For 30 years now, I've stood in the pulpit, told people about the goodness of God. For 30 years, I've been in the hospital. Can I get a witness here? I've been through the storm, and I've been through the rain, and all I can tell you, I've had some good days, and I've had some bad days. I've had some times I cried all night long, but I'm here to tell you, God's grace. Can I get a witness that know God's grace is sufficient? He'll pick you up when you're falling down. He'll catch you before you fall. He'll hear you every time you call. I'm going to my seat, but I'd like to know if there ain't anybody here. No, he's all right. Help me call him. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? I wish I had one or two people that know God is good. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? I said, ain't he good? Shake your neighbor's hand. I said, shake your neighbor's hand and tell your neighbor he's a good God. Does anybody know he's all right? Does anybody know he's all right? Does anybody know he's all right? Yeah. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Yeah, ain't he good? He's a good God. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I may not be American Baptist, but I love the Lord. I may not be what you want me to be, but I love the Lord. I've been up sometimes and I've been down, but I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm going to my seat, but I want to ask you right now, ain't God good? Ain't he good? Ain't God good? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ain't he good? Can I get three people that know God is good? Can I get somebody to just shake my hand and say, he's a good God. Thank you, Jesus. I wouldn't have religion if I couldn't finish sometime. I want y'all to know that I love the Lord. I said I love the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He made a way. He made a way. If I never talk to you no more, yeah, he made a way. God Almighty, God Almighty. He made a way. Thank you. He made a way. Oh, yeah. He made a way. If I couldn't.
Yes, sir.
If I couldn't say a word, I'd wave my hand. I'd wave my hand. Oh, oh. I'd wave my hand. Thank you, sir. I love everybody.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord.
Thank you.
I love the Lord. He made a way. Didn't he do it?
Yes, he did.
Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? He made a way. God made a way.
The doors of the church are open. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace, grace bought my liberty. I do not know just how he came to love me so, but he looked beyond. Any witnesses here? He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church is open. The doors are not open.